You are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on Joey's season of The Bachelor and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to podcast number 381. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. And you know who's on this podcast? Reality Steve. I'm going to be answering your reader emails that you sent in pretty much within the last 24 hours. Got about, just scanning over these, about 15 of them, maybe more. And I did not filter them. Everybody that sent an email since when I announced it yesterday, I just put it all into a folder and copy and pasted it. So if I start reading a question that was already read earlier, I'll just probably stop and move on. I just, again, busy day, things going on, did not time to have to filter the emails. I just put them all in one folder and said, okay, I'll read them. So we're going to get to that momentarily. So because crazy week, just did not have a guest, figured I would do this. And thank you to everyone who sent in an email within the last 24 hours, because we've definitely got a lot here. And hopefully there's not a lot of repeats. Just scanning over it, it doesn't look like it. So that's good. And, you know, frankly, the Daily Roundup was posted 2 hours ago. Sports Daily is a great, great interview today with the co-host of the podcast, Believe in Everything Auburn. So if you're an Auburn fan, War Eagle, you'll love my Taylor Davis and Jason Campbell interview today. Taylor Davis, ESPN reporter. Jason Campbell, you know him, former quarterback at Auburn, 10-year vet in the NFL, new dad, and we talk about 30-35 minutes of college football, and then the last 35 minutes is Bachelor talk. Both of them watch the show. They both have very interesting takes. One of them, I think, is even opposite of the other one. So, it's a great podcast. Check it out. Believe in Everything Auburn. And they talk, both are Auburn grads. Taylor graduated from Auburn. And obviously we know Jason did. So a little War Eagle today on the podcast. Check that out if you're interested. And even if you're not interested in sports, fast forward to the last 35 minutes of the podcast where we talk about Joey's season of The Bachelor. So there's no real reason to mess around here. Let's just get started. I'm just going to rip through your emails here and give the best answers I can. First off, Steve, what a great fun season to watch. Joey is such a great guy. I've never met a man who communicates this way. When he said to Maria, "You're all over the place, woman," I thought, that's a t-shirt. He's such a great listener and expresses himself so well. If he truly is who he seems, he's going to make a great husband partner. I'm rooting for him and Kelsey. Speaking of Kelsey, her dad needs to be the Golden Bachelor. I mean, come on. I don't know how old he is and if there's an age requirement for that show, but the man is hot, period. Hope someone who makes these decisions is thinking the same and his daughter can attest to the fact the show works. Do we know who the Golden Bachelor is? Golden Bachelorette is yet. Man, the show has been one guilty pleasure for years. I'm loving another season and the spoilers. All the best to the contestants. Make Maria the Bachelorette. Wouldn't that be a great TV show? Thanks, Steve, for all your work. So let's first address Joey. I think he's been a top three bachelor for sure. I don't think, and if the relationship fails post-show, I don't think that changes anything because the season itself has been enjoyable. A lot of sentiment since Monday's episode about, can we make Kelsey's dad the Golden Bachelor? He's a zaddy, all this stuff. I mean, you know, whatever. There's not going to be a Golden Bachelor this season, so it wouldn't come around till next year, and we just don't know. Is next year people going to be interested in Kelsey's dad? I don't know. But there's no Golden Bachelor this year. They're doing Golden Bachelorette, which you asked, do we know who the Golden Bachelorette is yet? I can't speak tonight, apparently. No, we don't. But my guess is it's going to be Leslie. It makes the most sense. I think someone told me Faith said in an interview it's not her, or she won't do it, or she's not interested in it. So that means they would have to go to the fourth place finisher, and I don't see it happening. I just don't. I think this is Leslie's gig, and we're going to find that out sooner rather than later. I don't know when that'll be. Leslie's or whoever the Golden Bachelorette is, her season starts filming, you know, a few weeks after the Bachelorette ends filming, which is beginning of May. So my guess is end of May, beginning of June is when the Golden Bachelorette will start. And we're obviously going to know by then of who it is. But as of right now, my guess is it will be Leslie. As for the next Bachelorette, you know, this is a Maria or Daisy thing. I don't care who gets it. Either way, I'm going to cover the show the same exact way as I always do, which is just get your spoilers. You know, I can't say if I think a Maria season is going to be better than a Daisy season or a Daisy season is going to be better than a Maria season. They are about as opposite personality-wise as you can get for a Bachelorette. So it's different strokes for different folks. Again, I don't care who gets it. Next question. Hey, Steve, to what extent do producers tell contestant families what to say or ask? Are they permitted to ask their own questions? There's a clear conversation similarity season to season. And, I can't answer that with 100% certainty, but just kind of, like you said, knowing how the show works, parents are going to pretty much want to know the same thing. What are you in this for? You know, try and see if they're in this just for fame. What are your intentions with my daughter or with my son? It's basically the way it is every season. So while I don't think any parent is going rogue, you also got to remember it's taped and pre-recorded. So even if a parent wanted to just absolutely grill the lead, production doesn't have to show it. Production will show what they want to show, which is why you said in your question, it's a clear conversation similarity season to season. Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing most parents want to know the same thing, but do producers tell them what to say? Do they write it out? I think you also got to remember, as I talked about yesterday with hometown dates, take, for instance, this season. Let's just take Kelsey since she was the first one that was shown, even though Daisy was the first one that was filmed. So Kelsey is shown daytime with Joey in New Orleans, and then they're walking around, then they go to a bar. All this time, there's a production team at Kelsey's dad's house, which was rented because they don't live in New Orleans. So that house was rented this season. But there's a production team sitting around with everybody that's in Kelsey's house, and they're prepping. What do you want to ask? So while they're asking them what they want to ask, producers are also giving them ideas of what to ask. So no, it's not like you have to say this, but they've been talking to producers all day to the point where they kind of know what to ask and what producers want them to ask. So that's the best answer I could probably give. This next one. Hey, Steve, longtime follower here since the beginning. I've watched The Bachelor since day one and found you shortly after started spoiling. Anyway, I guess this email is more like, I don't understand people. I've always been a fan of having shows spoiled. I'm so thankful you spoiled the show. However, again, since the beginning, if and when you get the spoiler wrong, there is not 1 ounce of me that is mad at you. For one, it's pretty rare you are wrong, but two, who cares? You are human. I feel like when you get a spoiler wrong, you end up apologizing a few times, and I feel like it's so ridiculous and you have to apologize. Not really sure of my point, but I guess stop apologizing, and thank you for even doing this. You have made a career out of this, so matter what, you are winning. And my next gripe is with Clayton. Oh, wait, you know what? Let me address this part first. When I apologized this year, it of course I apologized for being wrong, but I was more apologizing for, and I've said this a couple times now, how I was so adamant and the way I handled the people who came at me and said, what about this in regards to Kelsey? That was more what I was apologizing for because I struck back at a few people. Even though it was privately, publicly, I felt like I could apologize to them. It was more about that. It was more about being so adamant that it was Daisy and it was just not listening to anything. And that was more about what the apology was about. And, you know, obviously, I want to be right about everything about this season on any given season. But yeah, the apologies this season were more about how I handled it, not necessarily the right or wrongness of the spoiler. Okay, the second part of their question was this. And my next gripe is with Clayton. I have never understood all the hate he got for sleeping with Gabby and Rachel in the most dramatic rose ceremony ever. Most Bachelors sleep with the final three and stop dropping the L-bomb. And they have never received the hate that Clayton got, and I feel like it was super unfair. The dude has had a rough go out of all this when I think so much of his season is similar to past ones. Is it not right? In your opinion, did he do anything different to receive all the hate? The last stint with him is also a joke. Oh, the latest stint with him is also a joke. I'm so thankful he has his head on his shoulders and pushing through because holy heck, the poor dude, thanks again for all your spoilers and insight. Here's what I'll say about the Clayton season. I don't think it had to do with the sex. And I think if you asked Gabby and Rachel, they would say it's not that he had sex with both of us. is that he told us both the same exact thing. And that's just wrong. You can't tell two women the same exact thing in the overnight dates. And I guarantee Clayton, and I think he pretty much has admitted that since the show. He was naive to the process, listened to too many producers who got in his head, and he said the wrong thing. In fact, I know it didn't have anything to do with the sex part. Gabby and Rachel are grown women. It was their choice to have sex with him as well. And I think you ask them, or if they were ever honest about the whole process, it had more to do with why were you saying the things you were to us when you were saying the exact thing, same thing to somebody else. Like, I think the women that get on this show and go on the show and get to the final three and are okay with having sex in the fantasy suites know it is possible the guy is sleeping with somebody else as well. So Gabby and Rachel, I don't think, are beating him up for that or kicking him in the nuts for that. It was more along the lines of what he said to both of them. Okay, next one. Hey, Steve, might be too late for your reader email episode tomorrow, but I've been curious if the change in spoiler about who wins changes how you watch the show at all. I know you watch the show as someone who knows what's going to happen, so I wonder if anything in your lens has shifted knowing it's going to be Kelsey instead of Daisy. I'd also love to know why your original source thought it was Daisy, a.k.a. did they see something misleading, if there was a way you can share that without revealing the mole. Okay, let's address the first portion of the question, which is, has it changed how I watch the show at all? Not really. Because I've always found it a little bit weird. And I guess that's the word I got to use, weird. But I understand there are podcasts out there that don't talk spoilers. But as someone who knows the spoilers and usually knows them all season long, it is kind of weird. And it's why I don't listen to other podcasts that cover the show but don't know and don't address what happens later on. Because you just never know if those hosts are being real. They might cover the show unspoiled, but how do we know they don't know the spoiler and they're just trying to form all their opinions around knowing the spoiler? Like, unless we're in their head, unless we're in their computer system, unless we can see their history of what they've looked at on the internet, how do we really know people who cover the show non-spoiled are really non-spoiled? Do we know this? The answer is no, you don't. We don't. Not 100%. I guess you just have to take the host's word for it. But when the spoilers have been out there for a long, long time, and we know how stuff spreads, it doesn't mean you have to follow me and read what I write, but we know how it is. People complain every year. Oh my gosh, I wasn't even looking for the spoiler and it popped up. Yeah, that's going to happen every year. So it doesn't change how I watch it. I'm just kind of fascinated about people who recap the show every week and just try and react to what they're seeing every Monday night. Even though there is stuff out there that is like, oh, you know, someone's saying in week 5 or 6, I think Kelsey goes really far. It's like, well, but the spoiler's been out there for 3 months. How do we know they didn't see that and are just saying that so they can sound right? Trust me, a lot of people in this industry want to sound right. How do we know they didn't look at the spoilers or were told the spoilers or something, you know? Other question, I'd also love to know why original source thought it was Daisy, if there was a way you can share that without revealing the mole. Did they see something misleading? It's just not a simple answer I can give. It's so complicated because we're not talking about one person. I think, and every time someone asks me, it seems to boil down to you think you have one person, and everyone thinks that just one person tells me something. I'm like, yep, here it is. Here's the spoiler. It's like there's so many other things. So there isn't one. There are some that told me more information than others, but I had a lot of stuff, including Daisy Wins, told to me and things that pointed to Daisy. So unfortunately, I can't really answer that question without getting into details from sources. Sorry. Next question. In a recent column, you mentioned Joey is one of the top three bachelors. Who would you say are your top three bachelor and bachelorettes? This is what I get for not filtering these questions beforehand, because now I'm thinking on the fly. I know I liked Brad Womack's first season because it was the most realistic to me, because he got to the end and is like, yeah, I'm not ready to marry either of these people. Like, why do I have to get engaged? It's almost like that season should have been Love is Blind, which I discuss in detail today on the podcast. If you have not watched yesterday's episode, the wedding episode, you might want to skip it, but I do talk about Love is Blind on today's Daily Roundup, so go check that out. So Brad Womack's first season, for sure, just because we hadn't seen that up to this point. You know, I can't remember what number season that was, his first one, but we hadn't seen someone get to the end and just be like, yeah, I don't want either of you, and I don't want to get engaged to either of you. So, Brad's definitely one of them. Gosh, everything else kind of runs together for me, to be honest with you. I don't think anything stood out over anyone else's. For Bachelorettes, I always did like Ashley Hebert's season. I can't pinpoint why. I just did. And Emily Maynard's, maybe, because it was a little bit different. You know, they filmed in her hometown. It was right down the road from her house. Like, it was, I don't know, it's just different. I kind of remember it. Had some characters on that season. So I'll say those two. Next one. Hey, Steve, given the disaster that was the most recent season of Bachelor in Paradise, what suggestions do you have to make it better if it ever comes back? Thanks for all you do. I know the last few weeks have been a challenge. Okay, again, thinking on the fly here with Paradise, although I have had some thoughts in the past and now I can't remember them. I think one of the biggest things they need to do is get rid of these late additions in episode 4 or 5 where people come in and everyone else is already paired up. We see this every season. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, we all know that nothing's going to happen with them. And even if they do go out on a date and they do match up, when Jesse Palmer 1 or 2 days later says, you have to decide if you want to have a future with this person. It's like, bitch, I just got here. I know this person. I went on one date and you're telling me I have to decide. It just, and maybe that's another thing that they need to address. This, you have to break up or you have to take the overnight date. Even though they have allowed some people to leave as a couple, like Michael and Danielle a couple seasons ago, I think that just needs to be adjusted a little bit. Look, I understand this show is always going to have an end game of we need to have an engagement. You know, this show has to have an engagement at the end of it. And every single season of Paradise did. Even the one that had the shutdown because of the Corinne DeMario incident. Even that one had an engagement, and that, but it happened at the reunion show, which was Derek and Taylor. So that, I think maybe, I mean, I can say like, hey, can we just kind of drop the bar on having to have an engagement, but they'll never listen on something like that. I think they will listen to something to where, I don't know about the end of the show. Maybe everyone that comes in with a date card, you know, towards the end of the show, sometimes the people are like, go around and be like, well, you won't go on a date? Well, no, I'm already linked up with her. Will you? No, I'm already linked up with him. And it just becomes like, okay, well, I'll just give up my date card to somebody else that deserves it. It's like, then why did you even bring that person there? So I would maybe look into that. Just somehow, if you come in with a date card, you have to go on a date with someone that asks you, no matter what your situation is already with somebody. Even if it causes a stink, whatever. Maybe you have to do it. I don't know, but those are two I would look into. The end of the show, or the end few episodes where new people come in. Don't ever do the split week again. Don't ever do that. That was dumb. And maybe not force people to get engaged on the show, even though it's had more success than the Bachelor and Bachelorette franchise. So, again, what do I know? Before we move on, let's get to your sponsors. Let's start with Factor Meals. Yesterday, I told you all about the shredded chicken and loaded baked potatoes that I had, which were absolutely excellent. Yesterday, the green chili chicken. Again, you put it in your microwave, poke a couple holes in the cover sheet, 2 minutes in the microwave, then take the cover off. Whatever you have in there, you probably want to stir it a little bit, and then maybe put it in for another 90 seconds, maybe another 2 minutes, and you are done. You might not even need to put it in for 2 minutes, depending on, because not all microwaves work exactly the same. Mine seems to be a little low powered, so I put it in for 2 as I poke holes in the film at the top of my meal, and then I take it off, and then put it back in for 90 seconds. It is excellent. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleaning needed. Sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Told you, last two nights, my Factor meals. Tomorrow night, when I read the ad tomorrow during the podcast, you're going to hear me talk about what meal I ate yesterday or the day before. And so I've got six meals that they sent me. I'm through two right now, and I absolutely love them. Head to factormeals.com/realitysteve50 and use code realitysteve50 to get 50% off. That's code realitysteve50 at factormeals.com/realitysteve50 to get 50% off. Also, this podcast brought to you by Earth Echo Foods and their healthy, feel-good superfood product called Cacao Bliss. You'll fall in love with truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate. Who doesn't want to have guilt-free chocolate? It helps reduce your cravings, facilitate weight loss, boost your energy, help combat inflammation with one simple, delicious drink. All you got to do is put one scoop in a cup of water, in a smoothie, mix it with milk, whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. But it's chocolate that's guilt-free. Not only that, it's gluten-free, paleo, keto, vegan, and vegetarian diet friendly. As a listener to this podcast, you receive an additional 15% off when you visit shop.earthechofoods.com/realitysteve and use discount code realitysteve. That's 15% off when you visit shop.earthechofoods.com/realitysteve. Use discount code realitysteve. And remember, if you don't remember that website address, that's okay. Go to the episode description wherever you listen to podcasts. Click on Earth Echo Foods. It'll bring you right to the landing page. All right, back to the emails. This is kind of a long one, but Steve, I want to send you this email even before the spoiler was changed. You know, busy in life, but here goes. Joey was obviously keeping girls he didn't have a connection with. It was so obvious. As soon as Jess professed her love for him, she was gone. When Jen said, "I'm falling," and then went out of her way to get his attention, she was gone. He did not have a connection with Maria, not ever. His face every time he was with her was almost comical. Last night when she said she loved him, he actually looked mad. He knew she was playing him to get another rose. Whoever her handler was said she'll be great for TV, just keep her. Hell, even her brother said she's a player. That's why she's never brought anyone home. Joey is also just friends with Rachel. He clearly has no connection with her. She is beautiful and sweet and will be easy to eliminate at three, which seems to be what he has done from the last 10 women. Daisy, oh Daisy, the camera loves this young lady. She is everything a majority of the audience looks for, in my opinion. Not that she has gotten a lot of screen time. The producers really screwed up there, as they are now learning. But Bachelor Nation is in love with her. I don't care if they chose her to be the next Bachelorette. She has a future in television. Just look at her online presence since the show started. Finally, Kelsey, I just don't see it. I know your spoiler is correct, but I just don't see the connection. She is nervous and awkward always. Don't get me wrong. She is a beautiful, sweet young lady. Just don't see them unable to keep their hands off each other or look at each other like they are the only two people in the room. I know editing and all that, but seriously, I love Joey and I think he's a really great person. I just don't think he found his person. I would love to be wrong. I don't see the Women Tell All as a huge deal. Nothing really happened this season, drama-wise. So the only thing they can really do announce is next Bachelorette, but I think they will announce the Golden Bachelorette. Hope you were able to find that out tomorrow. Love your spoilers. Wish I could make it to your party. Okay, a lot there. I don't want to hit on every single point, although you do make good points in terms of Joey sending people home right as they profess their love to him or people he didn't have a connection with, and he just kept girls around. You also got to remember this is a television show. I'm sure if Joey had his way, the show would be 4 episodes long, and he would eliminate people a lot quicker. But you only got to eliminate X amount of people a show. So to say he kept people around only to eliminate them later, well, yeah, everybody does that. That's the thing. So, it happens every season. You know, if he knew he was never going to pick anybody other than Kelsey, technically he would have sent everybody home at the same time. You know, so I get what you're saying, though. But you also got to remember it is a TV show. I don't think they're going to announce the next Bachelorette at the Women Tell All last night. As of this recording, I have not heard anything yet. But I don't think they like doing it at a Women Tell All just because they know it'll get out since it's a taped show. The way they were able to get away with it with Charity was it wasn't in front of the audience. He went in the green room and back to her dressing room, and that's when they announced it to her. So very few people were aware of that. You know, you don't see it with Kelsey. That's fine. There are people that watched every single episode and have watched the same exact 2 hours every Monday night that you have and absolutely think he's head over heels for Kelsey. And it's kind of what I said in one of the reader emails yesterday, that someone said, I don't get it with this person, or they might have said, I don't get it with Maria. I don't know why everyone likes her so much. And I'm like, yeah, and that's why the show has been on the air for over 20 years. We're all watching the same exact show, and two people can see it 180 degrees different. And you say you don't see it with Kelsey. There are people that are absolutely thinking that these two are going to get married like sooner rather than later because they just love their connection. So, you know, to me, it's just hard. I can't base someone's relationship off of the episodes that I saw. I think Joey and Kelsey like each other, but again, you ask any previous couple who came off this show, it doesn't matter what you see on the show. The relationship started once the filming ended. And I don't know enough about the relationship since filming ended to know how solid they are, you know? So you can't go by edits. Because while he picked Kelsey at the end of this thing, they barely spent any time together. What have couples said? 96 hours max that you spent with this person over the course of 2 months. You could not text him before bed. You couldn't FaceTime before bed. You couldn't call them before bed for 2 months. So that's why I say the relationship starts when filming ends. So we'll know soon enough. And as I said earlier in this podcast, even if Joey and Kelsey last 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, and they break up, it doesn't mean they didn't care for each other. It doesn't mean they didn't like each other. It doesn't mean the season was a failure. But you also got to remember, we're 28 seasons now into The Bachelor, and one guy has married the final girl that he chose. Is Joey going to be number two? I don't know. But the odds are against them. You have to know that coming out of this show. And you seem to think that the odds are going to continue and the show is going to be 1 for 29 in producing bachelors that marry the final woman they chose. Very well could happen. Only time will tell. Next one. Former alumni are commenting on Maria's latest Instagram, talking about her exit from the show. They seem to be hinting at her being the next bachelorette. Rachel K said, I can only imagine what a group of men would do for you. I need you to be the bachelorette. Katie Bigger said, you killed it, hoping we see more of you. It seems like they possibly know something we don't. If they wait until the finale airs to announce bachelorette, I assume most people would be rooting for Daisy. It would be odd to announce Maria after what happens in the finale with Daisy, as weeks would have passed since Maria's exit. Is it possible they're going to announce Maria during Women Tell All? What are your thoughts? I don't think they're announcing. As I said, as I'm recording this, I haven't heard anything, but they probably aren't going to do it on a taped show because they know it would get out. They might as well just announce it to the media first because it's going to get out if it was done at the Women Tell All taping. I don't see that happening. We're going to know in the next couple weeks at some point. I don't know how and when they are going to do it, but the last couple have been at the After the Final Rose, right? Hasn't it been? You know, we got Charity. Charity's was filmed at the Women Tell All, but it, like I said, it was backstage. And then word started leaking. I spoiled that Charity was the bachelorette and we were going to see it. And they were going to announce her, quote unquote, officially at Zach's After the Final Rose. And they did. Gabby and Rachel were announced at the After the Final Rose. So the last two seasons, at least, I mean, I don't want to, if I go back in my mind, I'm not going to get the right answers. But I know the last two seasons have both been officially announced at the After the Final Rose. I would expect that's when the next one is going to be, which to me bodes well for Daisy, you know, because if you're going to do Maria, maybe you do that beforehand. You know, Daisy's going to be out there on stage. She's going to have her final talk. Everyone in the audience is going to cheer for her. And then they're going to say, and our next bachelorette, Maria, you know, like again, not saying that Maria can't be the bachelorette. I'm just saying, I think as a TV production side, my guess would be they're going to go with Daisy. So again, time will tell. I know I say that a lot, but that's all we can say at this point because everything else is just guessing and speculating. Hey there. Something I don't think you've addressed but wondered how it was allowed came to be that the final four all had their main Instagram picture as their baby pics. An Easter egg all season long? Actually, this is inaccurate because when it was first announced back in September and all four women and all the women I had identified that day of last name and their Instagram accounts, it wasn't like that. Their main Instagram picture weren't baby pictures. And right when they were allowed to go live or get their phone back, it wasn't all at the same time either. But at some point during this season, did Daisy, Maria, Rachel, and Kelsey all have baby pictures as their Instagram default pic? Yes, they did. I think it was just, it wasn't immediately from the get-go is basically what I'm saying. So to answer your question, I don't think it was an Easter egg. No. Okay, this email's got a few in them. Some thoughts, questions on several topics for your reader emails podcast. Bachelor. I know you've been harping on the Daisy trolls who complain that all she talks about is her cochlear implant and that we really don't know anything about Kelsey and Maria either. You mentioned they don't talk about their job, but it's possible they have, but it's all been edited out since it's not interesting TV. Junior project manager and executive assistant don't scream exciting to me. Well, that's fine. But my whole point is then you don't know about, yeah. What I'm saying is you don't know about Kelsey and Maria either. I don't think Daisy's talked about her job, has she? She's talked about writing a book in the past and opening up a nonprofit. But Daisy hasn't even talked about their job. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying we're not being shown it. I'm saying what we're being shown, the argument is people are saying, I don't know anything about Daisy other than she has a cochlear implant. Okay, well then what do you know about Maria? What do you know about Kelsey other than she had a mom who died? What do you know about Rachel other than she's a nurse? I'm just saying all of them have something where you can say, I don't really know much about this person. So that's where I'm saying that part, not just necessarily about the job. Also, I think Joey's been one of the best bachelors we've seen in a while. His women are a great group as well. Agree with that. Survivor, just based off the premiere, is there anyone that you like, dislike? You never mentioned being good at picking winners, but I don't think you've told us who you'd pick for this season. Well, it's too early for me. We're two episodes in. I'm going to talk about Survivor as well on today's podcast, the Daily Roundup. I did talk about it there. I think for the first two episodes, we had two players that were just very bad at the game. You know, Zielinski and Jess were terrible. Just not good players at all, and they happen to be on the same tribe. But I'll get into that more. I did get into that more on the Daily Roundup. I keep talking in present tense because I haven't recorded it yet, recording this one first. Traitors, what were your thoughts on Phaedra as a traitor, her gameplay? I'm biased in my dislike of her because of what she did on Real Housewives in Atlanta when she was a housewife, but she obviously makes good TV. Do you think she could have gone all the way if Dan hadn't thrown her name out during banishment? I think it's possible. I don't know anything about Phaedra's past, so I don't want to comment on it. I have no idea what she did on Atlanta Housewives. Not sure. I don't even know what her background is. I know she's got a bunch of jobs. Like, she's an entrepreneur. She's a lawyer. She's also a fashionista, I think, or something. So I don't know enough about her. I thought her gameplay was excellent. I mean, she basically lasted the longest out of the original traitors. And maybe she would have gone farther if Dan didn't slip her name out there, for sure. I can't remember where I heard or read this, but apparently when Peter first entered the castle, he thought Ekin Sue was Kelly for a second. And he thought producers were trying to mess with him by putting his ex in the game. That would have been hysterical. But also funny now, since he and Ekin Sue are supposedly dating, which of course was first spoiled by Sweetnums in her Instagram post. I also think it's funny she hosted the after party post reunion. Sweetnums always delivers. Yeah, I mean, I barely know what you know. I mean, that's exactly what I've heard. And, you know, the rumors are that he did have a little romance in the mansion or the castle with Ekin Sue, and they're, you know, dating post show. I don't know why they're being so coy about it. Probably because it's just two people fucking around and Peter's never going to commit to anybody anytime soon, so maybe that's it. I don't know. That's the impression I get of him. Could you get any of these contestants on your podcast? I could try. I could definitely try. I don't know if I have to go through NBC Universal or not. I mean, Rachel Riley was very happy to jump on with me last year. That was when the episodes were airing. Maybe I can get someone through her because she would definitely send someone my way. So, yeah, I will definitely look into it. Who would you like to see on Traitor Season 3? I think we're going to see a lot of the same people we see on other shows. It's just, you're going to see a lot of repeat people. You know, I could see someone like Dennis Rodman doing the show, and you're just going to see a lot of repeat. I'd say probably half the cast will be people that have been on, well, for this season, everybody that was on the show has been on a previous reality TV show before. I'm talking about people who have been on multiple TV shows before. I mean, isn't this show just like tailor-made for Brandi Glanville? I mean, she's going to be on this. We just kind of know. I really do think they're going to cast Nick Viall because he's basically begging for it. It's just going to be the same type of people, you know, just expect that. Vanderpump Rules this season was shot over the summer, so I doubt any of the recent stuff about Rachel suing Sandoval and Ariana will make it on the season, maybe brought up at the reunion. Also, In regards to the spinoff, The Valley, former Bachelor contestant Jasmine Good is supposed to be on it, I think, as a friend. And yes, she is. Jasmine Good is on this season of The Valley. I think she's even in the credits. So she's like one of the friends that's part of all this stuff. I don't even know how she got that role. It might have been through her girlfriend. I'm not sure. I don't know if her girlfriend is on this season. I believe they're still together. They post, the last time I checked, in Jasmine's page, her and her girlfriend posted all the time. So maybe the both of them are getting on it as a couple, or maybe it's just Jasmine. I'm not sure. I just don't know enough about The Valley. And yes, a lot of people have told me Vanderpump Rules this season 11 is done filming. But yeah, I got to believe at the reunion show, they are going to address Rachel suing Sandoval and Ariana if it isn't settled by then. NBA, you mentioned your sports deal. You don't think Luka is a good leader as a Mavs fan. What do you think they should do with him, assuming they don't make a deep run in the playoffs this season? Who's your pick to win it all this year? I think it's Denver again. I think Denver repeats. They're the best team in basketball. I think they're going to repeat. I think them in Boston, if Boston doesn't lose to Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals and Boston does finally get over the hump and get to the finals, while they do have a better record than Denver this year, I think Denver's a better team. And I think they will win it all this year. So my pick is Denver over Boston. I know, not really going out on a limb there. As for Luka, I mean, he's under contract, I believe, for another 4 years. So, but we also know in the NBA, if someone says, I want out, and they say, I don't want to play here anymore, basically the players hold all the cards now. So the Mavericks' job is to make Luka happy. And if they go out, like right now, they're an 8 seed. Which means they have to get to the play-in game. They're not even guaranteed to get in the playoffs. But if they make the playoffs, it looks like they're making it as a 7 or an 8 seed, which means they're playing the 1 or 2 seed in the playoffs, which means they're probably going to lose in the first round. And that means in the 6 years that Luka has been here, he's won 2 playoff series and that were both in the same year. So 5 of the 6 years he has played with the Mavericks would mean they didn't even get out of the first round or didn't make the playoffs. So maybe they aren't putting a good team around him. I'd say Kristaps Porzingis and Jalen Brunson and Kyrie Irving. And at one time you had 3 of those playing on the same team and they haven't been able to do anything. At some point he's got to take ownership and accountability. And I think he's a stats guy. And I'm not saying he doesn't want to win. He says at every interview, I want to win, but he's not a guy that the guys, you know, when you could say like Golden State won 4 titles in 8 years. And it wasn't because Steph got in people's faces. Draymond Green was the heart and soul of that team. And without Draymond Green, they don't win any of those titles. Maybe one. But Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Steph, they were the ones that won all 4. KD was on for 2 of them. But they won 2 without KD. So, and it was because of Draymond Green. He was the leader of that team. When he goes out, they pretty much lose all hope. Not because he's the best scorer, he's the best player. He's the skill-wise, he's probably 3rd or 4th best on the team. But you got to have a guy like that. How many times did LeBron James take a crappy, crappy Cleveland Cavalier roster to the NBA Finals? I don't want to hear it about the roster anymore with Luka. I'm over and done with it. I don't care that he averages 30 points a game, 35 points a game. He's probably going to finish the season averaging a triple-double. When he gets a 30-point triple-double this year, the Mavericks are 6-6. So what do I care if you get a triple-double? Big deal. The object is winning, and his team isn't winning. I think he's not a great leader at all. I think his body language sucks. I think he's out for his own stats. And while he says he wants to win, what is he doing behind the scenes? Like when this team is struggling right now, they won 7 in a row and now they've lost 5 of 6 and they've gotten their ass kicked on their home court the last 2 days. And now they play the Miami Heat tonight. They could lose again at home. They lost to the Philadelphia 76ers without Joel Embiid on Sunday. And then they come out and lay a stinker against Indiana, who beat them a week ago. Like at some point, the best player on your team has to take accountability. And there's somebody, there are people here in the Dallas area that I totally agree with when they say this, when your best player on the team is not one of your best defenders, you're going to have trouble because Luka is all about offense. And unfortunately, it's not going to work that way in a playoff game because we know in the playoffs, everything gets slowed down, ball gets slowed down. It's not about running and gunning. And you got to be able to get stops. And the Mavericks can't stop anybody. You know, they Derek Lively, ooh, great rookie. Yeah, he's a great guy to throw lobs to. He'll get you 8 to 10 points a game, a few rebounds. But when come playoff time, other teams aren't fearing Derek Lively roaming the paint. They're also not fearing Daniel Gafford roaming the paint. So this team's not going anywhere. They don't play any defense. I'm sorry. It's not happening as much as I want it to. I'm really thinking about reconsidering my season tickets for next year because I'm just kind of seeing the same thing every year. By the way, the new ownership jacked up the prices for next year's season tickets. So that might play a role. Went up by about 500 or went up by about $900 for me. Not thrilled with that, say the least. So I don't know. Still deciding, but what should they do with Luka? It's going to be up to Luka. If he wants to stay with them, they're obviously going to keep him. But if it gets to a point where Luka's 10 years in and he's won two playoff series, he's probably going to want to leave and probably going to want to go somewhere else. And they're going to be stuck having to deal with that. Hey, Steve, I'm battling the flu here in Virginia and just read your article from yesterday on your website. I've been a longtime reader, always appreciative of your perspective. I've thought about writing you many times. This is my first time writing. You have continued to call out the ridiculousness of toxic people. You handled yourself so well finding out it was Kelsey in the end and not Dave. And I appreciate how you and Dave have each other's backs. And I can't stand Nick. So thank you for bringing balance, light, and truth and decency to a franchise that is so whacked. I had no idea people were criticizing Daisy. I like how you address those comments to those who have their hearing, LOL, and pointing out how little we know about any of the contestants. I mean, we know nothing. Thanks again, Steve. And yeah, I just want to point it out. And I just think the Daisy criticism is just so weird to me because you've got people who are full of hearing, who don't have any hearing disability whatsoever, are not deaf and hard of hearing, telling someone who is deaf and hard of hearing how they should handle themselves and how much they should talk about something that affects them on everyday life. It's so beyond pathetic that I feel like I've talked about it so many times. It's just like, look, I've said my piece about it, and I think it's embarrassing for those people, but it's so easy to say behind a screen name, because I guarantee the same people that say that about Daisy, that she has a vocal fry and stop talking about your cochlear implant, if they were to ever meet her out at a bar or she was doing a signing and you walked up to her, are you really going to say, oh, can't stand your vocal fry? Oh, why do you talk about your cochlear implant all the time? Nobody in a million years would say that to her face. But yet everybody online who can create a screen name that's Jagoff123 can go out and say whatever they want with zero repercussions. I can't stand it. I hate it. I wish it would go away, and I know it never will. That's what sucks. This is not a Bachelor-related question, but relevant to something else you touch upon periodically, betting. Can you give a beginner's class or betting 101 with regards to sports betting? For example, what's an over-under? A lot of my friends and family bet for fun, and I'd like to as well. I just need a basic understanding. Okay. The fact that this person just said that and threw that out there, now, could I do a class on betting 101? I could do a 3 times a week, 4-hour class on betting 101 if you'd like me to. I love talking betting. You know, it's something I've been doing for 20 years on and off. So absolutely I could. Maybe I will take one of my sports dailies and one day just kind of go over betting and terms and glossary, but it's almost better to do that almost in a like a live setting or something, because if I'm just saying it, you'd be having to take notes because you just, I don't think if you're a novice, you're just not going to remember all of it, because there's just so many different things about betting, even stuff that I've learned over the years that I would love to pass my knowledge on to others. Just know it's not easy. And just know that anybody that says they win all the time at gambling is a liar. That's rule 101. Keep that in mind. But I'll think about it on how I want to do this, because it could take me forever. There's so many different things, because you almost got to break it down by sport. You got to think of football and basketball are the same because it's point spreads and over-unders, which I would explain in some sort of seminar. Hey, maybe I'll do a TEDx talk on sports gambling, huh? Baseball is completely different way to gamble. Hockey and baseball are basically the same, and football and basketball are basically the same because there's point spreads. Hockey and baseball are essentially money lines. And I might have just said 5 things in there that you have no idea what I'm talking about. So those are all things I would explain. But biggest rule right away, number one, anybody that says they win consistently is a liar. And anybody that says Well, yeah, that's rule number one. All right, moving on. Steve, I was wondering how I've been hearing about Joey's season is boosting ratings for The Bachelor when it seems to be losing each week to shows like NBC's The Voice and CBS's Bob Hart's Abishola. Doing a quick rating search shows The Bachelor is far behind each of these shows and doesn't include sporting events and cable TV. Well, you are right about one thing. It doesn't include sport, you know, network TV, when the ratings come out, just covers ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and CW. Because it's network TV, and then there's streaming TV, and then there's sports and cable TV. And you're just comparing apples and oranges if you go across the board. So we're just looking at Bachelor because it's on network TV. So you compare it to what else is on network TV on Monday nights. And while you are right, The Voice had 5.7 million viewers this past Monday. Bob Hart's Abishola got 4.68. A Bob Hart's Abishola repeat got 4.46. And NCIS got 6.81. And NCIS Hawaii got 5.27. Bachelor got 3.4 million viewers. So it was sixth in total viewers. Do you know what it was in the 18 to 49 demo, which is the number one coveted demo in all of advertising? It was number one for the night. It drew a 0.61 because all those other shows are on CBS. And we know basically shows on CBS outside of Tracker are watched by people 60 years and older. Like, so basically, that's, we've just known that to be a fact. They have their shows tend to be watched by the older crowd. Bachelor was 0.61 demo. 18 to 49, highest of the night. Voice is 0.49 in the 18-49 demo. NCIS 0.44, NCIS Hawaii 0.38, and Bob and Abishola, Bob Loves Abishola 0.37 and 0.36. So I always say this when we talk about ratings. The overnights anymore don't really matter because it's more about social media engagement. Are people talking about your show? Is your show relevant? And this show is still relevant. You can't just go off the ratings, because while the millions of viewers are down, if you looked at Bachelor data this year, Joey's season is the first Bachelor season in 5 years that actually has ticked up from the previous season before it. So that shows that there's a renewed interest in the show, and it leads in the demo 18 to 49. And that's men and women 18 to 49. The most coveted demo for advertisers in television is women 18 to 49. So if they're leading in 18 to 49 men and women, I guarantee you they have an even bigger number in women 18 to 49, and that's all that matters to them. Hi, Steve, big fan. I'm a dog walker and listen to you every morning during the week. You mentioned the other day about why they didn't stay in Canada for the hometown dates with Maria. I'm guessing that's because Jasper and Montreal are nowhere near each other in this country. It was probably there, so therefore it was logistically more beneficial for them to head south and then to Canada on the east side. Remember, Canada is a very big country. Anyway, like I say, big fan. Thanks for the endless entertainment. Okay, let's break this down. The episode before Hometowns was in Jasper, Alberta. I believe that's western part of Canada, right? So they were there, and then once they had that rose ceremony, or once they had the last day of filming in Jasper, and he sent Jen and Kelsey T home, the first hometown date. Well, yeah, they had a rose ceremony, and he gave the roses to Rachel and Maria. So the very next day, they head out, and then the day after that was Maria's hometown. Now, Daisy's hometown. That's who they filmed first. So all I'm saying is, okay, maybe I could see Daisy's first because Jasper to Minnesota maybe was shorter than Jasper to, where is she from, Ontario? Okay, but let's say you do Daisy first, but we know Kelsey was second. So why would you go from Minnesota to Louisiana, then to Ontario, when wouldn't you just go Minnesota to Ontario and just make Kelsey third? That's the thing we were confused about the whole time. We knew Daisy and Kelsey filmed number one and number two because of spoilers at the time in the moment. But that's just a question I shake my head at. It just seems like, okay, if you want to do Daisy's first, that makes sense. But why not go from Minnesota to Ontario rather than Minnesota to Louisiana, 2 hours south, and then go straight back up northeast? It just, that didn't make any sense to me. But again, it could have been Maria's family could only do a particular day. Kelsey's family could only do a particular day. That's very possible as well. But miles wise, it doesn't make sense to go from Minnesota to Louisiana and then to Northeast when you could have just gone Minnesota to Ontario? Because I know that there's, I know that that's quicker because you're just, you're not going out of the way and then coming back up northeast. And finally, we have this. Or actually, we got two left. Hey, Steve, have you ever eaten roast pig before? Rachel's my least favorite of the final four, but I really wanted to try some pig as it looked good. I am Team Maria for Next Bachelorette. I think she is a bit of an unusual but sexy look, sort of a Jennifer Connelly look. But I'm not looking to create a Megan Fox-Chelsea comparison like Love is Blind. I think her personality is quirkier than the others, which can make for an interesting season. I think the show played that music under her father and make it seem like he was going to be quietly menacing to Joey, but he wasn't. In case they go with Rachel or Maria, please confirm that your nephew is not connected to either of them so we don't have to hear more conspiracy nonsense. I'll address that right now. As far as I know, my nephew has no ties to Rachel or Maria. On part one of the challenge reunion, Norris tried to put an asterisk by Emmanuel's win by saying he copied Colleen's puzzle. Do you agree or all is fair in love with, since it happens on the show and Survivor, players should know to knock over their work when done? Yeah, I'm not putting an asterisk next to Emmanuel's name because he might have cheated and looked at somebody else's puzzle. I'm putting an asterisk next to his name because he didn't have to do anything to get to the final. And I think the final was a little unfair because there was nothing in it. I think there should be men and women winners every season. Who said that last week? Laurel? Durrell? I can't remember. But I think there should. Because it's just physically not fair to a woman who weighs 150 pounds less in dealing with things that are tougher weight-wise in terms of having to pull something or push something. I think there should be a male winner and a female winner every year. It's the way I feel. Did you see the conspiracy theory that the Facebook and Instagram outage on Tuesday? There was a Facebook and Instagram outage on Tuesday? I didn't even know that. Anyway, was somehow caused by Taylor Swift encouraging her fans on social media to vote in the Super Tuesday primaries. Given her huge popularity and wealth, do you think she should risk some of that by strongly endorsing a presidential candidate if she believes in one of them? I know that Michael Jordan used to be criticized by some for not using his platform to speak on issues. Well, we all know Taylor Swift's popularity, and we know if she did back a certain political figure, that person would get a bump for sure in votes. Is it enough to sway an election? Well, that's the thing. There'll be no way to prove there is a way to sway the election, but if the wrong person won, and we all know what we're talking about here, if the person that she endorsed, which we know if she did endorse somebody in terms of the presidential election, we know which side she would be on because she's made it clear in the past and in documentaries. The other side would be like, that's what she did. We hate her. And they'd probably just absolutely bomb her Instagram page and she would get a ton of hate. And that's what I mean. There's no proof. Yes, she has a large following, but what are you going to do? Ask every person at every poll, hey, are you voting because Taylor told you to? Like, come on, people. It's just, if she wants to do it, she can. I think she knows the ramifications if she does. I personally don't think she can swing a whole election. She could get people to vote for the side that we know that she would be on. But to say you can quantify and you know exactly how many voted because Taylor told them to is just, again, conspiracy theory. It'll be put out there months in advance if she does endorse somebody, and then we're just going to be reliving the same 4 years over it was rigged. It was already, it was already pre-planned. And just, I'm so tired of it. Farmer wants a wife. Reba and Joy seemed to be there, Sydney and Maria, but the audience and Joy seemed to be oblivious as to why. Yeah, Reba just didn't like Joy other than she did say she thought she was, inauthentic and she smiled too much. I guess Sydney and Leia and Jess had a little more concrete reasons as to why they didn't like Maria, whereas Reba's was pretty surface level. But maybe there was more, again, that they didn't show, and maybe that's what you're comparing it to, but... Yeah, it's like, that's one of the things about Farmer Wants a Wife. There really hasn't been a lot of drama. The drama has been, they don't know if they get along with the guy or the guy isn't paying enough attention to them, because two of these four farmers, Brandon and Nathan, don't seem like they've been around women a lot in their life, because Nathan just kissed his first girl last week and they're in episode 5. And I just don't think, when you watch him interact with women, I don't think he feels comfortable, which is fine. And same with Brandon. The other two, Mitchell and Ty, seem to be a little more smoother and a little more easier to watch on television with women. Not saying they're Rico Suaves, but they've done better than the other two. And finally, this email. Why do you think Prick Vial called Zach a total dick last season? And if they film BIP next year, where is it going to film since the original place has been bought out? Okay, so first question. Why do you think Prick Vial called Zach a total dick last season? Well, I guess it takes one to know one. Where are they going to film BIP next year when it goes to films in the original place? I don't know. We are very far away from that even happening. So I'm just saying they're not going back to Sayulita. If they do bring back Paradise from the Dead, because it doesn't look like it's happening this year, if they do bring it back, it's going to be in a new location, and I don't know where, and I don't know what the format's going to be, but I think if they take a year off, they're going to reconsider some things and going to see a pretty, while there'll probably still be rose ceremonies and dates, just it'll probably just be a different show is my guess. Anyway, thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Please follow me on Apple Podcasts. Also rate and review. And if you can, hit play. Doesn't matter if it downloads into your feed anymore. You got to hit play to listen and for it to count as a download. Daily Roundup is posted a couple hours ago. Check that out. We talk about Love is Blind. We talk about Survivor, some stuff in Bachelor World. And then, oh yeah, and Chris Harrison, we talk about. He is back on your television sets coming up pretty soon, people. And then I do, for my Sports Daily, have an interview with Believe in Everything Auburn podcast host Taylor Davis, who is a ESPN reporter and Auburn grad, along with Jason Campbell, former Auburn quarterback. It's a great one-hour discussion, about 30, 35 minutes on college football, and then we do the back half of it on Bachelor. So if you don't want to listen to the sports part, go to about halfway through, and you'll hear us talking Bachelor season with Joey Ez, because Taylor and Jason have talked it on their podcast a couple times, and they've got some their thoughts on how they feel about Joey's season. So go check that out if you're interested. Anyway, thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it, and I will talk to you tomorrow. See you!